Warming temps and heavy rains can spell trouble for your home. Don't wait for a problem. Get a free foundation inspection from PermaSeal. Stay dry, stay protected. For peace of mind, call 800-421-SEAL or visit permaseal.net.
I want you to put two big rocks or three big rocks in a coffee can, tie it around your neck, and then start running. What kind of sound does it make besides cacophony? Yeah, James Comey is one rock. He's the little finger of politics who has been exposed as the manipulator, the open threat to Donald Trump, talking about seashells and how he likes to play with seashells by the seashore. And we'll see what happens as Jean Pirro stares down at him from her perch as U.S. attorney in Washington. And then you have another story. Joe Biden is a sack of meat. But you already knew that. But did you know to the extent to which the government and the media have gone after him and have tried to protect Biden by lying to you? And then the third rock, what's going to happen when J.B. Pritzker meets Rahm Emanuel in politics? Are they really going to go for the same office? Are they going to play a game, or will Pritzker back out and turn to ooze as he usually does? To discuss all this is Tom Bevin, my friend, executive editor and co-founder of Real Clear Politics, and our guest today. And Jeff Carlin is here as always. Jeff Carlin is a future physics teacher, executive producer at WGN Radio, my friend, and me. I'm John Cass, editor of johncassnews.com, where you always get a good cup of Midwestern common sense, just $50 a year. And where are you as you're running through the streets with a coffee can with all these rocks banging, making noise? You're on the Chicago Way podcast on WGN Plus.
So this is a guy who lives high on the hog, and he has this Tammany Hall style attitude to power. And it's the Chicago Way, absolutely.
Look, the Chicago Way is a deep cultural phenomenon.
It's the Chicago Way.
The Chicago Way. That's the focus.
In a tower by the river, there lived a man. There was a man who took a stand. With pen and paper in his hand. Defeating foes in every ward with a pen more mighty than the sword. No escape from his ink lasso. In a tower by the river. Castle.
Here's how you get him. He pulls a knife, you pull a gun. He sends one of yours to the hospital, you send one of his to the morgue. That's the Chicago Way.
Hello there, Chicago Way fan. I'm Jeff Carlin, and just a quick note before we get into the conversation with Tom Bevin. This conversation was recorded over the weekend before the news broke of Joe Biden's cancer diagnosis. And of course, everyone here wishes no one ill and wants everyone to be healthy, happy, and live forever. And if we understand that it's a trying time for the Bidens, and that's very unfortunate. However, I would think that everyone here in the conversation would agree that the cover-up of the president's health only gets more mysterious with this recent prognosis. With that being said, I hope you enjoy the conversation, and thank you for listening. Please share, subscribe, like, tell your friends, and above all, be well.
As promised, our guest today is Tom Bevin, Real Clear Politics, founder and president. Do I have the titles right?
Good morning. That's fine. You can call me whatever you want. Not big on titles.
Call you good man.
Also host of a great podcast. Don't forget
that.
Thank you.
Appreciate
that. I listened to it, and I learned some things.
What'd you learn?
Well, I listened to all of it, if you're testing me.
Do you drink every time Carl Cannon says Gavin Newsom's name? Is that?
I didn't think of that.
I am now.
Yeah,
I will now. Yeah,
like, we have a running joke about that.
Small glass of sherry for me. Okay. So we have two major stories. One is the weasel James Comey, who prosecuted the Gambino crime family and now feigns ignorance about what 8647 means. And the other is the audio release of President Biden, completely non compos mentis, a sack of, and I don't like saying this about a president, a sack of meat. That's it. He was incapable of running the country, and he still ran the country, or something like that. He was the figurehead. Which one do you want to go with first? Your choice.
Well, I would say these stories are like, one's a pebble and one's a boulder. I mean, the James Comey thing, it's like, okay, it's just stupid, right? He's walking along the beach, and he says he found these stones. I mean, I think most people think he put them there, arranged them that way, took the picture, put it on his social media. He's got a book coming out. And, you know, this idea that, I don't know. I mean, yes, 86 originally meant to get rid of something. People have been, you know, Democrats and progressives have been using that for a while. So I don't know that he was necessarily calling for, you know, Trump's assassination, although obviously people have tried to assassinate Trump. And so in that sense, it's a little provocative. But, you know, James Comey is a clown to me. He was presenting himself as a very serious person, and we all thought of him as a serious person. Mm-hmm. And then we started to learn more about him. And when Trump came into office, you know, the way he conducted himself, we found out that he actually was a weasel and was a schemer and a guy who views himself as this righteous figure.
St. James, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it's just these sort of delusions of grandeur. And so he's gone and still trying to stay relevant, and that's fine.
Isn't that the terror for people like James Comey? As David Mamet said once years ago, what they're afraid of is not being relevant anymore.
Yeah, fading away.
Fading away, right?
Yeah. So, but the other story that you mentioned, the Hur report. I mean, this is, and I was just saying this on TV,
which is why I asked you.
No, I mean, it's this is a, and again, not something that we didn't know. You know, we saw the Hur report, we read the Hur report, and then we got the transcript, and we read the transcript. But now with the audio coming out, you know, you can hear it, Biden in his own words, just absolutely fumbling about, not able to find the – he's totally confused. He doesn't know the timelines. And this is October 2023, right, when this recording was taken.
So during this time, we were living in Chambers Road, and there were documents related to the Penn Biden Center or the Biden cancer finger shot or your book. Where did you keep – papers that related to those things that you were actively working
on? Well, I don't know. This is what, 2017, 18 area?
Yes, sir.
Remember, in this time frame, my son is either been deployed or is dying. And so it was, and by the way, there were still a lot of people at the time when I got out of the Senate that were encouraging me to run in this period, except the president. Not a mean thing to say. I mean, he just thought that she had a better shot of winning the presidency than I did. And so I hadn't at this point, even though I'm at Penn, I hadn't walked away from the idea that I might run for office again. So if I ran again, I'd be running for president. And so what was happening, though, when Monty Bo died, May 30th, 2015 he died.
May 2015.
I think it's 2015.
Yeah, I'm not sure the month, but I think it was.
Yeah.
That's right, Mr. President.
And what's happened in the meantime is that as and Trump gets elected in November of 2016. All right. So, what about 2017 here?
That's when you left office, January of 2017.
Yeah, okay. But that's when Trump gets sworn in.
Right.
January.
Right, correct.
Okay, yeah. Correct. And in 2017, Beau had passed, and this is personal. The genesis of the book and the title Promise Me Dad was I know you're all close with your sons and daughters, but Beau was like my right arm, and that was my left. These guys were a year and a day apart, and they could finish each other's sentences. And Beau, I used to go home on the train in the period that I was still in the Senate. Anyway, if you remember, there was pressure, not pressure. Beau knew how much I adored him. And this sounds, maybe it sounds so, everybody knew how close we were. There was not anybody in the world who wondered whether or not. And so,
sir, I'm wondering if this is a good time to take a break.
Let me just keep going to get it done.
And, you know, so he served for another, what, almost year until that debate, 9 months until the debate.
Right.
But we now have examples of going all the way back to before he even took office or right when he took office, where he clearly had moments and episodes where he was not with it, where he was, you know, calling people by different names and, you know, all sorts of things. And that to me is a massive, massive scandal. We knew it. We saw it happening. We all lived through it.
Right.
But now that he's out of office, we're getting more details. And this is the really infuriating part is that, you know, it's the same media that went along with it and shielded Biden and protected Biden. And when the Hur report came out, brought people on TV to smear him, you know, Democratic officials, administration officials to smear him and protect Biden. And now these same guys, Jake Tapper and the like, are out selling these books talking about how it was all true. It was all true. And, oh, I should have reported, you know, I'm approaching this with humility. I mean, go pound sand. Okay. It's just
exactly
because as I keep saying, had he not fumbled in that debate, the charade would have continued. The media would have continued to play along. If he had won re-election somehow, he'd be president right now. And Karine Jean-Pierre would still be doing the same shit from the White House podium. And, you know, Jake Tapper and CNN and MSNBC and all these folks would be dutifully reporting it. And whenever anyone criticized the president, he'd have these episodes, they'd be saying, oh, you're a right-wing nut, conspiracy theorist. Those are cheap fakes. It's bullshit. I mean, it's just, it's when you think about the scope of it and how much lying was done and gaslighting it is nauseating.
But it is, I think, twinned with, I don't think the first story is a throwaway because it's all about our loss of confidence in our institutions, complete loss of confidence in the first and in the second. You know, you have one in the first story, you've got, I mean, I liked the Game of Thrones character Littlefinger, right? Because that's right. And I thought of a headline. So I will present it to you tomorrow, or Sunday. But he is Littlefinger. He's a manipulator of the first water. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. Sure. That's a great analogy. I'm a huge Game of Thrones fan.
Yeah.
Always scheming. Always. Yeah. I mean,
never held accountable. Never held accountable.
Listen, I think your point is well taken, and we shouldn't lose sight of the fact that that. Because Trump really broke the system up until Trump's election and campaign, you know, it was like, oh, okay, yeah, you know, you can see examples of the media bias and the way they treated George W. Bush. And, you know, it was there, obviously.
Yeah.
And then, there was obviously the way they treated Barack Obama and so favorably and just, you know, fawned all over themselves. And the contrast with that with Trump and the way the media declared themselves part of the resistance, the way the government and these agencies and these actors in these agencies declared themselves part of the resistance and were constantly undermining Trump and in Comey's case, as you mentioned, scheming against him right from the start, briefed him in Trump Tower on the dossier, went down, got in his van, wrote a memo about it, which he subsequently leaked to the New York Times.
Yeah.
Sent two agents over to the White House within days of Trump taking office to basically like trap Michael Flynn. And he said, you know, I just thought I could get away with it. There was so much chaos over there. I just sent those agents over there. They didn't warn him. They didn't tell him. And, you know, basically, you know, got him in some sort of perjury trap. I mean, he was because Trump took office and because he really exposed himself as a real sort of nefarious individual. And I think that was true across the government. And we saw that for the first time and we were shocked by it. At least I was.
I mean, shocked by it is an understatement. But I don't think it sank in. That's the crazy part, right? I mean, there's so much of the populace has not realized the game that was afoot and the strings that were being pulled by, you know, as John and you know your brother would say, this deep state kind of mechanism and apparatus. But it, and the shock is it's just I just can't wrap my head around somebody with that much power, and it's got to be the power, right? Power, absolute power corrupts absolutely. Right. That makes them that way. That makes them feel like, oh well, I know the right path. But how do we get people to see it for what it is? Because it's not going to get put out on MSNBC and it's not going to get put out on CNN. It's not going to be really covered to that depth. It just feels like we're just running a repeat of all this. These institutions are showing off. You know, people watched Conclave and they're like, wait, there's politics involved in picking a pope? You know, people are.
Wait, so, you're talking about contact. You're talking about tactics, right? How do we shame these? How do we make them walk the walk of shame?
I don't care about that. I mean, I don't care about that so much as I don't
change their
populace. The people see for what it is. I don't know where we even begin because it should just be completely obvious. You know, you look at the presidency of Woodrow Wilson. Everyone's like, oh God, how do we let that happen? We should be doing that right now.
And we'll be right back.
With over three decades of serving up streetwise insight and local perspective on Page Two,
the voice of John Cass has a home at johncassnews.com.
There's a new sheriff in town.
This will truly be the golden age of America. That's what we have to have.
But as he settles in, can you deal with the hysteria, the meltdowns, the constant whining?
I don't know what to do.
You know what you need? You need a good cup of common sense.
It's just common sense.
Like the kind of common sense you get when you subscribe to johncassnews.com. I'm John Cass, 40 years a journalist in Chicago.
The Chicago way.
I opened this website, John Cass News, so that you could have a decent cup of common sense.
This great country of ours was built on its entrepreneurial spirit.
It's time that you join the frontier of independent journalism at johncassnews.com.
Subscribe today to get access to great columns from John Cass, Dan Proft, and others. Don't be a chum alone and subscribe at johncassnews.com.
And now, back to the conversation.
Tom, is this the scandal of the Biden presidency, his non compos mentis? Is this a scandal on the par of Woodrow Wilson and his evil wife, Edith. And the reason I say evil wife, because I'm a conservative and they were progressives, and I just won't.
It's a loaded question, John. Yeah, like, right? When did you stop beating your wife? Like,
right, exactly. When did you stop beating your evil wife? That's the question.
Look, it is a scandal. It has been. And it's certainly, I think, the biggest scandal that we've had in a long, long time. I think it dwarfs Watergate. And in part because, you know, the media played along with it. Media yes. was part of the conspiracy, was part of the gaslighting, continued to say to the American public, you know, oh, he's fine. Oh, it's a stutter. Jake Tapper. How dare you, you know, Lara Trump, how dare right. you make fun of his stutter? I mean, the lengths to which the media went to back up and protect Biden and shame and, you know, everybody who had any questions about, you know, questioned his mental acuity makes this a bigger scandal, in my opinion. And certainly the biggest one that we've had in a long time. And, you know, this guy was clearly, I love this idea. I'm being facetious. I don't love it, but this idea that, well, you know, we never saw it affect him as his president. He was still a really good president. He was very effective. He was always sharp. And it's like, right. you know, Jake sharp Sullivan said this, and there was a quote in this book, and it's just like, that is such bullshit. I mean, the idea that he was, yeah, sure, he forgot some names, and when we saw him in public, he was shuffling around and, yeah, raised questions. But privately, behind the scenes, when it came to policy, he was sharp as a tack, and,
yeah.
you know, I could wake him up at 3 a.m., and, you know, he...
Isn't that the lie that Jill... It's even said,
just yeah, said. Absurd. And these people have no credibility. We should give them no credibility. I would love to hook them all up to a polygraph and or give them sodium pentothal and get the truth. I don't think we'll ever get there necessarily because they're not going to voluntarily come forward and say, yeah, you know what? I was actually running the government. You know, Jake Sullivan's not going to say that, but we know it's true.
Well, first of all, I mean, this is a loaded question again. I'm sorry for everyone, but I can't help but ask these. Tom runs a website, as you know, that is committed to offering differing points of view on the same issue or many multiple issues. It's quite the open forum. But I wonder, and I know he cares deeply about journalism because I just know him and I know his work. But I have to ask, I don't know if the scar tissue that has been built up over Biden and the lies and the, you know, Edith Wilson nonsense and all of it, I don't know if the media will ever survive it. And I thank my stars every day, and Tom had something to do with this, where I left the paper and started out on my own. But I don't know if they're ever going to recover from this.
I agree with that. I mean, trust in media is already at historic lows. Yeah. You have, you know, a fractured media environment where a lot of people are getting their news from Substack and johncastnews.com and other places, right?
Yeah.
And I think, you know, the Jake Tappers of the world, the CNNs, which are going all in on promoting this book, you know, and the Joe Scarboroughs, F you if you can't handle the truth. This is the best Joe Biden ever. I mean, these clips live forever. They're not going away. And I do think that's why this is such a big scandal, because it impacts not just the government and the people who are running the government, but the media and the people who are reporting the quote unquote news. And I agree with you. I mean, look, does this mean CNN's going away or MSNBC is going to, you know, shut down tomorrow? No,
I wish.
But it is another blow that they will, it's unlikely that they'll recover from, and they weren't going to recover trust anyway, but they'll sink even lower. And this is the thing too, is, you know, does anybody have any confidence? Jake Tapper says, oh, I'm going to, you know, I'm going to, I'm approaching this with more humility and, you know, really? Okay. So the next time like something happens, we can trust you to report the news accurately. You're not going to slant it toward the, you know, Democrats or whatever,
exactly.
as you've been doing for 20 freaking years, you know, with the Russia collusion, all this other stuff. I mean, these people are irredeemable. The Joe Scarboroughs and the Jake Tappers of the world. It's like, they want us to trust them again, that they're somehow going to be, you know, they've discovered or rediscovered this, you know, that they're going to be actual journalists now. I mean, you know, Stephen L. Miller, who is a writer for The Spectator, not the Stephen Miller that's in the government. Right. And he's a good, great follow on X. And he was talking about, remember when Jake Tapper said, I'm not having anyone on my program who promotes the big lie. The 2020, you know, if you're an election denier, you are not welcome on this program. You know, blah, 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 blah.
I guess you didn't have Molly Hemingway on after that. Yeah.
But it's like, okay, so are you going to apply the same standard now? Anybody who came on your show and lied about Joe Biden's mental acuity, are you going to have Adam Schiff on? Are you going to have any of these members of the administration on? Are you going to keep having, you know, John Brennan on who signed on? I mean, the hypocrisy, the double standard there is so glaring and so, again, nauseating. There's no way that the media and these folks in the media are going to recover from it.
It's kind of like trying to get a Chicago alderman to teach an ethics class. You know?
How you doing?
How you doing?
How you doing?
And there's no recourse for, you know, like Trump, right? Because it's, I mean, if he goes, oh, well, we're not, you know, CNN is out of the White House and we're no access to anybody or anybody in the government talks to them, you're fired or any of that, because it's just going to look retaliatory. So it's not like you can, you know, take a spear to them and try to put them up against the wall. It's just going to keep recirculating. And the thing that kills me, that crushes me, John, and Tom, that makes me nauseated is that they knew what was going on, and then they turn around and make money off of it. So actually, you know, the truth really was, wink, wink. And the part that really, really bothers me is that you get people who are like Joe Biden, who like my dad, who are getting older and have issues, and they watch this stuff, and it drives them up crazy because they get so freaked out that all this stuff is happening, and they're drumming it up, and they're pounding
into
them, they're
scaring Biden.
They're scaring them, and these older people, and it's ruining their lives, it's making them physically sick, and that's the stuff that breaks my heart, because I can't tell you how many times my dad comes to me, and he's like, oh my God, can you believe what Trump is doing, and blah, blah, and I gotta try to tamp him down and he's, you know, and it makes him, it's ruining his health, and it scares me that we have no way of stopping that.
I don't know I don't know what to tell you, Jeff. I mean, it's,
I
like
know.
the media is broken, and there is no putting it back together. It is Humpty Dumpty for sure. And to your point, there just has never been, in my opinion, any sort of accountability, any sort of introspection, any sort of reformation. All of these folks who participated in, whether it was, you know, the Russia stuff or, I mean, a lot of the COVID stuff too, you know, talk about like making the populace insane. And
well, not only that, will hurt your children.
Yeah. I mean, all
shut up about it. Yeah. Right.
And now it's like 2 years later, and it's like, oh, well, you know, maybe shutting schools was maybe that wasn't a good idea. I mean, there's 3 years after the fact, after they've slimed and berated anybody who had an opinion that differed from the, you know, narrative, whatever that is, in the case of COVID coming from the public health apparatus, that, you know, you were a conspiracy theorist or you had to be, you know, marginalized, and then, you know, turning around and saying, oh, well, actually, yeah, maybe the virus did leak from a lab. Gosh, I think people have just had it with these folks in the media.
Well, I wonder if you look at Solzhenitsyn, I mean, I should reread Solzhenitsyn because maybe I could find something there, like a hint of when the Marxists began to examine themselves. Did they ever do that or not? Did they just ignore it and throw everybody in the gulag that they could and just...
They devour themselves before they get to that point. Yeah.
While I'm ranting about the media, let me take a moment to talk about this New York Times op-ed from Pinch Sulzberger, who
we
ran it on Real Clear Politics.
I was amazed that you did that. Go on.
What's that?
I was amazed that you did that, but go on.
Well, I mean, look, he's the publisher of the New York Times. I mean, he's not an unimportant person. And so for that reason, I think it was newsworthy. But this idea, and for those of you who are not aware, if you're listening to this, go back and you can look at it. It was last week. I don't know what day it was. What was it, like Tuesday or Wednesday maybe? And yep, it was on Wednesday. A free people need a free press. That was the title on the piece. And he talks about how important the role of a free and an independent press in a healthy democracy, and it's under direct attack. And everybody was like, oh, I went online. I was like, oh, this is such an important article. Everyone has to read it. And again, made me throw up in my mouth a little bit, primarily because this guy's paper has repeatedly smeared and attacked independent media organizations. And the reason I know that is because he attacked us twice and tried to, you know, just absolute hatchet jobs on Real Clear Politics. Once in 2020.
Right.
Jeremy Peters, just this ridiculous piece, which we subsequently, I mean, it took us a couple of years, but Carl Cannon wrote a response, which I urge everyone, if you're interested in this kind of stuff, Carl's one of the best writers I've ever
and met. Fairest.
And fair and measured, and he just absolutely just fillets them.
Well,
and then again,
It's good to see that. It's good to see that the New York Times cares about independent journalism now, after trashing it before. But do they bring their own set of facts? Because I remember working with the editor of the New York Times for years, Dean Baquet, who was pivotal in promoting the change of the foundational dates of America from 1776 to 1619,
yeah,
which is a sin against our country. Talk about that a little bit.
Well, yeah, I mean, look, obviously, I mean, how much time do we have on this program?
I know, but it's important stuff.
We can spend 4 hours talking about the New York Times and how they have changed just in the last couple of decades. And now you've got these, you know, James Bennett was fired, and the opinion editor was fired, and you've got, you know, what was his name? Doug, the science reporter who was fired and replaced by, you know, some young woke woman who called the virus, you know, racist. I mean, they've just absolutely gone off the rails. But to me, this piece by Sulzberger was galling because, you know, he's out there, oh, we need a free and independent press. And it's like, really? Okay, well, why don't you start by taking a look at yourself and your organization in the mirror?
Yeah.
And stop attacking us, you know, apologize to us for the way that you've treated. I mean, we are the definition of an independent media company, small, you know, and we've been at this for 25 years. We operate in an environment where, you know, our competitors are places like the New York Times and the Washington Post, people who have, you know, 100 times the manpower and resources that we have. And we're out here trying to promote dialogue and discussion across the political spectrum. We're running pieces from the left and the right every single day. We run more liberal opinions in a single day than the New York Times runs conservative opinions, probably in a month at least. Sure. And yet we're getting attacked from folks like the New York Times. I mean, it's just it's ridiculous. And so, no love lost for what. with Sulzberger and the NYT.
Well, it's the Chicago way, and I'd love to ask you, Tom, before we let you go, you think Rahm's got a shot at being the next president, Rahm Emanuel?
Yes, let's talk about Rahm. We talked about this on our podcast the other day. I love this. I mean, I love this. So Rahm goes on The View, says he's in training.
Right.
May not make the Olympics, but basically says he's – I mean, that's – you know, politicians are usually pretty tricky. Coy about this stuff, but that was pretty open. And I, you know, the question is he trying to basically bait J.B. Pritzker into running for, I think J.B.'s running anyway.
Yeah.
So he can turn around and run for governor, or is he really serious about running for president? And I mean, John, you probably know Rahm better than I do.
He would sell it to quote Brautigan, Richard Brautigan, Rahm Emanuel would sell a rat's a**hole to a blind man for a wedding ring.
Okay. Second week in a row, I have to bleep that one, John.
Oh, man. Well, listen, Rahm is known for his colorful language, too. Yeah. So, look, I do find it interesting, though, Rahm is taking this sort of centrist approach, right? Where JB's like full on left. Yeah. Democrats are not fighting hard enough, and we should go all in on the woke stuff. Don't listen to, you know.
Yeah.
So it's going to be fascinating to watch these two go at it. I think the party is more with JB than Rahm, but and I do think the Laquan McDonald stuff doesn't go away. It follows him wherever he goes. Anytime he wants to get into a primary battle, it's going to be brought up and used against him, and probably pretty effectively. And you know, JB, I would not hesitate to do that, nor would any of the folks that Rahm will be competing against.
You see them in conflict, these two.
Sure. Absolutely. I love it. Yeah. I think it's great. It makes for a great storyline. Yeah. And look, Rahm's still a young guy, still ambitious, has always been very ambitious.
JB versus Jack Spratt, huh? Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. And JB is he's ambitious as well. I mean, he thinks he's got what it takes to be president. I find that a little hard to believe, but let's see what Democratic primary voters think. I mean, you look at this field, it is going to be a like 20 car demolition derby. I mean, you know, these names that are popping up, AOC, Wes Moore. I mean, everybody's going to be running. Pete Buttigieg, Gavin Newsom, Gretchen Whitmer. I mean, it's going to be awesome. Absolutely awesome. As the proprietor, and I say that not in a partisan way, but just as a proprietor of a political website. I mean, it's going to be fantastic. I mean, the 2016 election, you know, especially on the Republican side with all of the, you know, Trump versus the, what was it, like 12 or 13 governors.
Yeah, remember
senators,
that?
Everybody. I mean, it was awesome. Oh,
yeah. And so you got to see it as, I mean, you just mentioned that idea that was a transformative year for the Republican Party. I mean, essentially wiped away the Republican Party of old and ushered in the new MAGA.
We got rid of the Bush thing.
The Bush overhang. And now the Democratic Party is in just shambles after losing and losing and losing. It's just going to be the moment where they figure out, are we left? Are we center? Are we, you know, who we are and what comes out of it?
Well, I think the party is left. That's where the energy is. You see Bernie and AOC getting 25,000-30,000 folks to, you know, fight the oligarchy flying around their private jets. And you remember, look, Biden presented as a centrist in that last election. He was saying, you know, I'm for evolution, not revolution, when he was talking about him versus Bernie Sanders. And so they went with the centrist and because their desire to beat Trump. And it was amazing to watch, you know, Pete Buttigieg and Amy Klobuchar were still in that race and just got out, which is not something you see politicians who are running for president often do, just sort of give it up when they're still in the fight. And what happened? Now they're coming out of it with the biggest political scandal in American history. They have lied to the American public for 4 years. You know, so how does Pete Buttigieg go around and say, you know, I didn't know what was going on? It'll be easier for like J.B. Pritzker, who says like, and he said this the other day, look, I talked to him on the phone. I went to the White House a couple of times. How would I know? You know, Gretchen Whitmer. But everybody's getting asked and everybody's trying to basically squirm their way out.
They will be asked again and again.
Of course. And again. Absolutely. Right. This is not a story that's going away anytime soon. And so they're all going to have to reckon with what happened during the Biden administration and how this all went down. And maybe that'll give, you know, the outsiders a little bit of an advantage to, you know, I mean, how did Kamala Harris not, if she decides she wants to run for president again, which she might, how does she answer that question with any sort of plausibility? I didn't know. Really? You spent more time with him than probably anybody in the government.
She'll play victim, right?
You're racist for asking me. Yeah.
I don't know. Right. So we'll see. It's going to be fun though. I, and you know, I think there could be some drama on the Republican side too, depending on how things work out. I think JD's probably got the inside track, but I don't think, you know, I don't know that the field is necessarily going to be cleared for him. He'll have a couple of challengers, I would think.
JB versus Marco, with the neocons getting in again, trying to leverage Marco on this thing, right?
What about JB versus JD?
That's what I've been saying. That's what it is to me. Oh, gosh. I can't wait. I just can't wait. I just want to see just chaos reign for the Democrats after all they've put us through. It's just, ugh.
You know, there's one thing everyone should remember. And as we approach this, subscribe to Real Clear Politics. It's free, but you can still subscribe to the website and
Thank you.
I mean, there's so much stuff you guys turn out. And also subscribe to JohnCastNews.com, where you get a good cup of Midwestern common sense. Ding. Yes, that's what I
love.
Say.
I love it.
And Tom, remind us again of the Sirius show and the podcast. How do we catch that?
Yeah, Real Clear Politics on Sirius XM. We're Monday through Friday, 6 p.m. Eastern. If you have that, we're on the POTUS channel 124. And then if you're not in your car or you don't have Sirius, it turns into a podcast immediately thereafter. You can get it about, I would say, 7 o'clock Eastern, 8 o'clock Eastern every night. And on Spotify or Apple, wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts. And yeah, check it out. It's fun. We're having a good time. And you know, Carl's great. And Andy's our host. And we all like each other. So it's not one of these, you know, but we do disagree. And
that helps.
Yeah. Not like this one. Right.
Exactly. Oh, yeah. But we have a lot of fun. And it's going well.
Excellent, well, it's a Tom. Pleasure.
Always.
See you, my friend.
Thanks, Tom.
Bye. All right, guys. Thanks so much. We'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
For Tom Bevan, executive editor and co-founder of Real Clear Politics, for Jeff Carlin, executive producer of WGN Radio, future physics teacher, baker of pies, friends of cats, and for me, John Cass of JohnCassNews.com. Join us again next time for another edition of the Chicago Way podcast on WGN+.